Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Welcome to the Vaporsmith's Freedom Hour with Freedom Fiends, Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from my windowless bunker.
And Nima Vedati.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
So, Nima Vedati, how you doing on this sunny, fine day?
I'm good, Michael W. Dean. I'm ready to cast.
Podcast. Yeah, I've been up for hours. I slept 2 hours last night, so I should be interesting.
Yeah, you've always been an insomniac like that. Anything special you were doing with your midnight oil?
Yeah, I was configuring all of my sites and my Google Plus account for this new thing called Google Authorship. Basically, Google tries to keep up with people trying to scam SEO with like fake sites and backlinks and fake words. Like you were just saying about how Bart tagged his YouTube videos as baby penguin, baby rides kitten, even though that's not in the video.
Yeah.
So what they're doing now is they have this new thing they just come out with called Google Authorship, which is basically like to prove to Google you own certain websites so it can follow you. It might just be a government plot to like, you know, track people better. I mean, because one of the requirements is that on your Google Plus page, you have a headshot that looks like you. And I'm like, that sounds like the government, but I gave it a try. I don't care. They knew who I am. They
have Yahoo ran an article recently that Google was getting more and more requests from the government. And Mike Rozif, I think on Lou Rockwell, had mentioned, you know, Google's so ubiquitous now, so big, has so much data, it's inevitable that the state is going to try to court them and get that information and either take it by force through regulations and pressure from cabinet level groups, or I guess try to get in bed with them, you know, have one of those Monsanto charts. I think that's the government's dream, to have one of those Monsanto charts where everybody on the Google board is also in some kind of government position. So
I don't think it'll happen. We'll see. I don't think that'll happen. I wish Google would just get their act together and just tell the government go away and just take, you know, become the government and do a better job.
Yeah, well, I hope so. You were telling me, wasn't there some guy who was a big wig in the starting or founding of Google who's always been a part of this internet freedom movement?
Yeah, Vincent Cerf or Sref, I'm not sure which it is, but yeah, he's also on the board of the EFF, I think, the Electronic Freedom Foundation. And
that's it.
There's a guy I'm trying to interview who's on that board who was the lyricist for the Grateful Dead, John Perry Barlow. I think he'd be an interesting interviewee, and he lives in Wyoming, so I wrote him and said, you know, do it. Come, we can do it over Skype, or you can come to my house, and we'll cook you dinner.
Yeah. He lives in the billionaire San Francisco-esque part of Wyoming, though, right? Jackson?
Outside of Jackson, yeah.
Outside of Jackson, okay.
Well, that's where it's really rugged. Homes. He has a home in San Francisco, too, and a few other cities, but
I see.
Yep. Those hippies were big business. So I was watching Adam 12 today, and I saw the best, like, hippies are evil propaganda I've ever seen. They answered a shots fired call. They went over to this house, and there were these two hippies sitting on a porch swing with rifles, huffing paint, and they were shooting at this box that they'd tied up in the tree about 25 feet away from them with rifles. They were missing, and the bullets were flying out over the city. And the cops were like, "What you shooting at, fellas?" And they said, "Oh, that box of dynamite we found." So, I mean, I think that's what people think that, you know, anarchy would be, or you know, if libertarians had their way, everyone, all your neighbors would be hippies huffing paint and shooting dynamite with rifles.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Crazy hippies. Although the things that the state does are obviously worse than that. I think that's obviously a straw man argument for, oh, anarchy will be hippies shooting at dynamite. But
yeah.
Honestly, as long as the hippies don't live near me, I don't care, man.
That was pretty creative, though, man. It was hippies just swinging on a porch swing with rifles, huffing paint and shooting at dynamite.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I doubt they'd huff paint if pot were legal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. These hippies look pretty hardcore. I think they graduated to huffing paint.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Ugh. I don't know. I don't know why people would want to do stuff like that. I mean, especially if there were a free market in drugs, do you think people would still be doing stuff like that? Huffing paint, huffing. When I was in high school, a group I ran with for a little bit, they liked to huff Freon. So they would go behind the back of the house where the air conditioner was, and they would put a plastic bag over the nozzle that had the Freon, you know, the cooling element.
Yeah.
They'd press on it. There's like some kind of release valve or something. They'd shoot all the Freon into a plastic bag, and then they'd huff it. And I just looked at him like, I don't think I'll ever do that, guys. You guys can have fun with that. Pass me another joint.
I was at this party once in about 1983 after this band, True Sons of Liberty, TSOL, played at in Charlottesville, Virginia. And they came over to this house, and there was a party. And I don't know. I don't think it was someone from the band. I think it was some hanger-on that was just at the party. Like, all the beer was gone. All the weed was gone. And at, like, 5 in the morning, we found someone in the kitchen. They'd like stolen my roommate's tools and were taking the refrigerator apart to try to huff the Freon.
yeah. So, just ridiculous. But, you know, at the same time, I feel like the dudes who were trying to huff Freon, if they really wanted something stronger than weed, there was a free market. They'd just go down to the convenience store and get a little tablet of heroin or opium or something.
Inhalants are generally what people do when there's no real drugs around, but I'll bet there's like one person out of 500 who their drug of choice would be Freon or huffing paint. You know,
okay, well, isn't the effect pretty much similar, except a lot worse for your body than something like nitrous oxide, or is it
nitrous oxide, ether, and chloroform are the inhalants that were used or are used medically that don't kill you as much as like huffing toluene or gasoline or Freon.
Right, but the effect on you that you feel is pretty similar, right?
It's similar, but you know, when I was really young, I got a hold of some ether, and what I've always said since then is, I mean, I got more out of it or out there on ether than I've ever gotten on any drug, and I've done every drug pretty much there is, except probably peyote. But the thing I say is that on LSD, I have forgotten my name before, but on ether, I have forgotten my species. That's pretty far out there.
Okay.
And I'm serious.
But, like, and at some point in history, I mean, the drug war has only been around for so long. At some point, you could probably go to the local general store or the dry goods store and grab yourself a bottle of ether, right?
Yeah, you could buy ether and dynamite. You know, one-stop shopping. That sounds like a party to me. Ether, rifle rounds, and dynamite. That sounds like a good hippie party to me.
That'll be a blast.
Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of the state and internet stupidity, there's some state, I think it's Alabama, but somewhere in the South is trying to is it Arizona? Somebody is trying to pass a bill right now that would outlaw annoying people on the internet. And I'm just thinking, like, that's all the internet is for, man. Everybody.
It would outlaw annoying people who are on the internet. So if somebody was annoying, you could be deleted from the internet. Annoying.
Or arrested. I don't know. I mean, it's an anti-stalking bill, but again, they make them so vague. You know, they probably make them so vague. So if you send a strongly worded letter to your representative, they can arrest you.
Ugh. Yeah. I think And this is where it's so ridiculous to have these groups of busybodies, professional busybodies, because they're always going to find something to clamp down on when
they're
it comes to
anything. They're
three
laws away from perfection, man.
Yeah, exactly. And so they're sitting there in their little state house wondering what they can do to get themselves on the news. And they're like, oh, the internet, yay. Grannies always call us and complain about their granddaughters and how worried they are about them. And then they write silly little bills like this, and they probably don't even understand how the internet works other than they play Words with Friends.
It's a series of tubes, man.
Yeah.
It's quite simple. You know, speaking of busybodies and nanny bodies, you know what the title of this podcast is, Nima?
No.
Homo parasitis, which is a term you came up with. I said that politicians aren't even the same species as good people, and we're trying to figure out what their species is, and you said Homo parasitis.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, that is what they are, and that is what this episode is.
So, yeah, always carry heat, never talk to police.
Ever.
What's
ever,
that from?
It's a joint you sent me by a Buddha monk or Brooklyn Zoo.
Brooklyn monk, Buddha monk from the Brooklyn Zoo. Zoo spelled ZU. That's a crew he's in, the Brooklyn Zoo crew.
Got it. Yeah, and I was wondering if they had an official affiliation with the Wu-Tang, because I didn't have time to check too much into it.
Yeah, there's some connection.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're wannabes or if it's a side project with the RZA or what's going on. But
I think it was the JZA or the FLIZA.
Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. When you're not busy spying on your neighbors or squinting at everyone, tell anyone who will listen why more government is a good thing. You'll get a warm and fuzzy feeling demanding more taxes and arguing in favor of gun control while militarizing our police, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
That is so square. Check out the additional Freedom Fiends show, Freedom Fiends Live, every Sunday on the LRN.FM streaming feed or satellite radio.
Broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker inside a mountain near an undisclosed location in the rural Wild West of the occupied states of America.
Freedom Fiends Live expands on the Fiends' weekly Wednesday podcasts, but now we're kicking the hornet's nest live. Talk back to the back talkers every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. East Coast time. From the makers of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, Freedom Fiends Live. Call in soon before we get droned.
No, there's no FLIZA.
The Quizza?
There's no FLIZA.
The Stwizza.
No. It's the RZA, who is like the grandmaster.
Who's the other one? The JZA?
Then there's the JZA.
I think it's
genius.
The JZA is connected with the Brooklyn Zoo.
Okay. Well, whatever it is, they got some kind of connection, either paying homage or being some kind of connected. Because Brooklyn Zoo was a song by Old Dirty Bastard.
Well, I thought this was a song that you told me about. I just ran across this on the interwebs. Because you used to quote some rap to me when we were working on the movie, and it was something to the effect of, you know, we always carry guns and we don't talk to cops.
Nah, that was the Ghetto Boys. You got to remember, I'm from Texas. So I'm down with the Woo. I love the Woo.
Aren't the Ghetto Boys from Florida?
No.
Okay.
No, the Ghetto Boys are from Houston. They're pretty much who put Houston on the map as far as rap goes.
What's the line, though?
It's, we don't talk to police, we don't make a peace bond, we don't trust in the judicial system, we shoot guns.
I like it, but I think Buddha Monk simplified it.
Yeah, he did.
Always carry heat, never talk to police. I know people that hate hip hop who could have that as a bumper sticker here in Wyoming.
Yeah. Somebody should throw it up on Liberty stickers. You know Scott Horton now. Tell him to throw it up there.
Does he run Liberty stickers?
He can make new stickers whenever he wants. I don't know what his official affiliation is, but sometimes he'll be on the air on anti-war radio and he'll be like, you know, I just thought of a new bumper sticker. Wow. Democrats should go suck a dick. I mean, it won't be like that.
That's a great power to have. I mean, I come up with pithy thoughts all the time. I wish I could just wake up and send someone an email and there would be stickers in the world the next day.
Well, I guess you probably could.
I could, but, you know.
Make it in Photoshop, send it to Liberty Stickers. If they like it, I mean, I'm sure they put it up. I don't know if they'll pay you. But.
I actually, there was a button company in San Francisco that was called Ephemera Buttons that they sell their stuff all over the world, or all over America at least. I've seen they have these little stands in head shops and stores that have all their buttons on them. And I got paid $50 to come up with two slogans for them. It was $25 each. And the slogans were, any man who claims to be a feminist is just trying to get laid. And I'll be grateful when they're dead. I probably won't tell John Perry Barlow that I came up with that if I talk to him. But
yeah. Did you hate the Grateful Dead at some point?
No, man. I saw the Grateful Dead 9 times, which is nothing. It's not Deadhead. It's not enough to say you're a Deadhead, but I really like the Dead a lot.
Yeah,
I've never seen any band more than
9 times.
I don't like bands that sound like the Grateful Dead, though. I don't like Fish, and I don't like any of those other jam bands.
Yeah. I think the only band I've seen multiple times was the Foo Fighters. I've seen the Foo Fighters 3 times, and that's just because... 10, one time they did a show in Utah and my friend took me. I mean, it was a great show. They're great live. Dave Grohl's hilarious. He's a great showman. And then they played, there was some tour they did where it was them and Weezer as like dual headliners. And I saw it once in Houston because I wanted to see it with my friends there. And then I took my now ex-fiance there. Although she was planning on breaking up with me at the time.
Aren't you glad you didn't marry the girl that you broke up with?
Oh, man, I'm so glad. Yeah, so glad. She was a crazy psycho person who almost killed me on numerous occasions. So
that's love.
And then she's an Obama humper. Like, she called me before I moved to Wyoming. And I don't know why. She, like, texted me from a different number. She's like, hey, you, do you remember me? Because she always likes to play with people's heads. And I'm like, who the hell is this? And, like, she wouldn't tell me. And then finally she called, and I was like, oh, hey. And so I guess she somehow found out through the grapevine that I was going to be moving and getting a job in TV. And so she wanted to come jock on my nuts and whatever. And I was just going off on, you know, how I feel about things because I was a budding anarchist at that point. And she was like, and I was hating on Obama. She was like, oh, I'm going to vote for Obama. And I was like, but you're from Syria. Like... he's going to bomb brown people all the time. And she's like, well, if they're messing with us. And I'm like, oh, God, you're such a retard. So, F her.
Worms.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a – there was a girl that I was in love with. We dated on and off for like 10 years. We were in different cities. She was in New York and I was in San Francisco. But really smart, really talented lady that I ended up like cutting out of my life – because shortly after I became a libertarian, she was like, yeah, I'm going to vote for Obama. And I'm like, and 5 minutes earlier in the same phone call, she told me she was a libertarian. And
she's, right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a libertarian. Sure. Freedom. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people don't even know what libertarians are. Did you see this Van Jones speech that somebody posted on Lou Rockwell?
That's racist. That's racist.
That's racist.
Is there really a band called Das Racist?
Yeah, it's a hip-hop group.
You
should check them out. No, it's some Middle Eastern guy. I don't know if he's Pakistani or what he is.
They all look the same to you.
He might not even be Muslim. He might be a Sikh. I don't know. He looks like on the cover. He's got like this big ass beard and stuff. So I'm not sure what he is. Some kind of non-Mexican brown. And then there's a Mexican brown guy. I think he's Puerto Rican or something. Or that's the joke. At least they have a song where the chorus is. They say we look like Puerto Rican cousins, which is pretty funny. Yeah, and they have this line, they go, we're not racist, we love white people, Ford trucks, apple pies, bald eagles.
So, Van Jones, man. Van Jones was such a clown. You know, it's like they had to cut and run with him from the Obama administration because actually I think Glenn Beck got him kicked out of the administration.
Yeah.
It was like
clown is a really good word for it. Like, first of all, in the video, Edward Norton like introduces him, and like Edward Norton's like level of respect in my mind just like dropped like to below zero.
Ugh.
He was, you know, you remember what he said? He goes, you know, this one time I was having a meeting with the Dalai Lama and Van Jones, and I just couldn't figure out who the wiser one was. And then like right after that, Van Jones comes on the stage and he's like, Edward Norton, y'all! Edward Norton! Like, he's like Martin in 1956 or 1996 or something. I'm like, what is this? This dude? Smarter than the
Van
Dalai
Jones,
Lama?
I mean, I basically think that a lot of the higher-ups in Obama's administration are politically similar to Van Jones, but they're like way more professional and scholarly and better at hiding it. You know, yeah. Van Jones is like a goofball, half-baked uber radical from the 60s, you know, uber socialist who, or communist who never changed.
Yeah. And plus, he didn't make an argument. Okay, given the video clip was chopped up, so maybe things were out of context, but I just didn't see any logic in anything he was saying. He made a straw man and tried to tie libertarians. He was like, you know, they say that liberty should be the number one thing in America, but they don't want liberty for you gay people. They don't want liberty for people who look like us, you know, people who have piercings. Yeah, and he points at people and goes, y'all. He's basically calling them gay, pierced brown people in the audience and pointing to them.
You know, the Tea Party has really, in a way, poisoned the public perception of libertarianism, because they kind of use the wording of it in occasion. I mean, I know people that call themselves libertarian that want to like ship all the, you know, that want to like blow up the Middle East. And, you know, who's the guy that does libertarianrepublican.com or .net? Eric.
Dondero?
Yeah, Eric Dondero, who some people think was the guy who wrote the racist Ron Paul newsletters, but I'm thinking he's probably not now. But because he worked for Ron Paul. And got fired by Ron Paul. But he started a group on his website called Libertarians for Romney.
Libertarians for Romney. Okay. You know,
that's like Jews for Hitler or something.
Yeah, yeah. That's like PETA for McDonald's.
There you go. Pacifists for the military.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
You know, I heard a good word the other day. You know how we were talking about, like, they don't have a draft anymore. They just make everyone so poor that they can get everyone to sign up. I didn't know there was an, like, I noticed that. I'd never heard anyone talk about it. It's pretty obvious. But, you know, I was like, yeah, that there's that thing. There's a name for that. It's called the poverty draft.
Yep. I'd heard the term before. I remember us talking about it at one point, and I thought I had mentioned the poverty draft.
I don't think
you
used the word poverty draft, but no. Yeah, I ran across that the other day.
Yeah. Makes complete sense and is complete true. I do want to go back to one other thing I want to call Van Jones out on. Yeah, because we just can't leave him too much alone here. He had a really silly logical contradiction at the end. First of all, he like switches it up. And so he says libertarians want themselves, you know, they call themselves patriots. First of all, I mean, I think that's also a straw man.
He's talking about the Tea Party. He's talking about Sarah Palin, man.
Yeah, I suppose he is. But then he brings up this thing where he says that, you know, you say you want to be a patriot and you go to New York and give a thumbs up sign with your picture taken in front of the Statue of Liberty. And then you go off and do these anti-Mexican or anti-Hispanic, anti-immigrant rants. And he's like, read the poem. You know, you can't be a patriot and still be a bigot. But I'm thinking that's sort of, in the modern sense of the word patriot, that's really the definition. Because patriotism is just really nationalism. You inherently think that one group of people, i.e. Americans, are better than another. I mean, American exceptionalism, all that stuff. So basically, to me, you're in the same category. You're in the same circle as somebody who thinks one group of people is better than another group of people.
That whole patriotism thing falls under the guise of something else I want to talk about after the break, which is the civic religion. Do you know that term?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that's basically what it is. It's a civic religion. So if you look at it in one sense, it's nationalism, but it's also people who are followers of Obama, the God King.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so the civic religion does not pick left or right sides. It's, you know, yeah. Obama poses in front of a bunch of flags when he's... Do you remember that thing he did where he signed something that kind of destroyed a part of the Constitution, like, in his first 6 months, and he did it in the room that contains the Constitution under glass?
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, yeah. And you know what he's done? Have you heard the thing this week of like him threatening the Supreme Court?
Yeah, briefly. He says something like the Supreme Court doesn't have the right to strike down something that Congress passed. And yeah. I was thinking,
yes,
that's
they do.
Kind of the whole point. although they didn't really have this aura of final arbiter of everything constitutional until, I mean, that wasn't originally in
Marbury
the Constitution,
versus
right?
Madison.
They took that power.
They just said, we got this power, bitches. You know, the Supreme Court this week also upheld the right of police anywhere in America to strip search anyone arrested for anything.
Yep, yep, I saw that. They basically said, in essence, the safety of the officers, the anointed class.
We're going to feel your junk. We're going to we're going to make you get naked in front of other people and feel your junk after arresting you.
Yep.
Fuck them.
The fear of our pussy little boys in blue is more important than your civil liberties and natural rights as a human being. So
we need to
shut
watch
the fuck up and let me check your asshole.
We need to shrivel your nuts in a cold room.
Yep.
Hi, I'm Nima Vedotti from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about Vaporsmith's electronic cigarettes. I dig the taste, and I dig the freedom to vape anywhere the nanny staters would wet their pants if I smoked.
Vaporsmiths.com is run by a liberty-loving entrepreneur, not some subsidized tax-eater conglomerate.
I'm Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and I love Vaporsmiths. I smoked 3 packs of tobacco cigarettes a day for decades, but now I'm only using Vaporsmiths. I love the flavors, I don't smell like smoke, and I save money, so I have more to spend on ammo and treats for my kitties.
Available in 4 strengths and 10 delicious flavors. Reds, Classics, Turkish, Menthol, Strawberry, Cherry, Vanilla, Coffee, Minty Mint, and Cloves. Go to Vaporsmiths.com. Use coupon code FREEDOMFIEND to get 25% off your order. This is a limited time offer. Vaporsmiths. At Vaporsmiths.com.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN. FM.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
6 drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedotti.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
So, yeah, I interviewed Scott Horton the other day. Did you listen to that?
Most of it. I didn't hear it all. But yeah, sounded good. Sounded good. Cool. He was like very much... You asked him, sex. I always ask all my interviewees about sex. And he was like, nah, man, let's just talk about Syria.
He's like, come on, man. Yeah, it was a good interview, but it wasn't, it was good. He just didn't want it. He's egoless, I think, and he doesn't want to talk about him, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Which...
Yeah, he just wanted it to be something that was anti-war. He wanted it to be something on the caliber of... Or on the... Not the caliber, I shouldn't say. But on the same subject, same category as anti-war radio.
You know, someone tried to tell me today that the website for that, kittyfeet.com, that kitty feet is a synonym for camel toe.
I never heard that, but I can see it. Yeah,
but it's definitely. Like, I mean, I've had that term kitty feet forever. I was in a band called Kitty Feet, and the drummer in the band posted on Facebook today to check out the Anarchy Gumbo podcast and said, yeah, it's named after our old band, Kitty Feet, which means the same as camel toe. And I'm like, really? That's news to me, and I came up with it, but cool.
Huh. So maybe that's what everybody else in the band thought it was about, and you're sitting there thinking, oh, it's my lovely kitty's pretty feet.
It's what I thought. When I was in a band called Slish, and Slish is the sound of a man going in and out of a woman.
Ah, I see.
Yes. And, you know, we do have our other site now, freedomfiends.cz, which is our drone-proof bunker in the Czech Republic.
Yeah, and some government agency put out an audio clip. I think it was called The Central Scrutinizer.
Yeah.
Saying not to listen to it.
I'll play that in the next break. It's pretty awesome, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if you download a bunch of Freedom Fiends media from that and just hold on to it for when we're droned or start sharing it wherever you want, you will get on the Golden Floppy Disk of Redemption. And that is our list that we keep on the Golden Floppy Disk. Right. It's the list.
So when the government destroys all of society in a vicious hellfire, only those on the Golden Floppy Disk of Redemption will be resurrected.
Oh, I thought it was the people we're going to spare from the libertarian reindoctrination camps when we rule the world.
Ah, I see. Okay, so you're coming at it from more of a Stalin-esque point of view.
Yes.
See, I was thinking more of John Hagee and shit.
We'll force them into liberty. Did you say a cuss?
Yeah, I said a cuss. Okay. Press the M button.
I pressed the M button.
Yeah. We have to be careful about our cusses now.
Do we? Why?
Not careful about them, but I'm just telling the audience we're...
Well, it's more like I found a way to edit a lot more quickly.
That's it.
That's still it. Good. But it involves not listening to everything all the way through and spending 10 hours per cast editing. So I have to put a little marker in the file when...
So we know where the cuss is at.
Yep.
Yeah.
So another thing about 1 Adam 12 is the intro is awesome because it's got like the actual dispatch room from the 70s, the LAPD. And they had these women with like beehive hairdos answering 911 calls and then talking into a big old Elvis style ribbon microphone.
Nice.
And then like typing the ticket up, and then it comes out as a punch card and then goes into this little conveyor belt that takes the punch card down to the other people.
Instead of computers.
Yeah, well, it was with computers, but that's what computing was in the
70s. If you call that a computer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You crazy old people with your old technology.
Yep.
I always wonder, though, like, what's it going to be like when I'm, like, 60 and 70 and I have to call tech support for my internal brain video player and what's this damn thing doing, you know?
I know. You do tech support for a living, and like you're going to be on the other grandpa end of that someday. And
I don't know how to do this.
Yeah, I just wonder what the technology will be. I mean, it's hard to imagine.
You'll start using the NATO alphanumeric alphabet to spell something out, and they'll be like, "Old people, they're still using language. That's so square."
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully NATO won't exist at that point, so we'll have the anarchist.
I'd keep that alphabet. It works. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I'll go to an army surplus store and buy stuff. I'm not going to not use good, well-made stuff because the army used it. I'm liberating it. You know, it's like the Mosin and the AK I have are not communist guns. They're Liberty guns because I have them.
Yeah, yeah, but...
Speaking of which,
something different, though. We still use the NATO alphabet, but we'll call it the Anarch alphabet or something.
Nah.
Fine. If you want to love NATO, you can love NATO.
I don't love NATO. NATO's the only they're the only people that could bomb, that could take out our Czech bunker.
Don't give them any ideas.
I know, that's what people keep saying, but so we watched Red Dawn last night. I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
Even though it's kind of patriotic. I mean, you know, it's got like flags and stuff and people singing the national anthem while they're being mowed down by machine guns and but, you know, it's just all about survival. I don't think of it as survival of the nation. It's survival of the people.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're using AKs, and they're not feeling bad about using commie rifles because they're more effective than the deer rifles at the short ranges they're fighting at.
Yeah, it's been so long since I've seen it, but I remember really liking it. Now, they were supposed to make... Somebody was making a remake of it where China...
It's done, and it's supposed to be coming out in November. There's no firm release date for it yet, but what happened was... the studio made them change something. It was the nationality of the invaders. It was supposed to be Chinese, and whatever studio's putting it out got really upset, so they had to digitally pixelate everyone to be North Korean, all their uniforms and stuff. But I guess that's racist because they think they all look alike because, you know, Asians can tell. I can tell usually North, you know, Koreans from Chinese by looking at them.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. We wouldn't want to piss China off because then they might actually do it.
Because they'll be the ones pressing the DVDs and selling them for the film company. Right.
Yeah, just throwing them in the trash can. Man, F this.
So read this letter on this the bottom of page one, this succinct comment on the Michigan Militia Acquitted article on CNN. It's a great letter. And then we'll read a really crazy letter from the Prairie Pravda.
Okay, yeah. Again, a lot of times the best stuff in a news story is in the comments section. So this was an article basically about the Huda tree. Is that how you pronounce it, Michael?
I don't know. Is it Huda tree? I always thought it was a really weird word, and I never figured out how it was pronounced. But
some group of people who hated the government and had guns in the Department of Homeland Security did this big sting operation and had an agent provocateur, and the FBI hauled these guys in. And the judge said, you guys are ridiculous.
They were probably less dangerous than the hippies huffing paint and shooting dynamite.
Right. And so a guy commented on the article on CNN when it came out that the judge threw out most of the charges. He says, many people hate the government, and that number grows every day.
This is not the judge. This is an email. This is a letter to the. This is a comment on the website about CNN.
Exactly. I'll start over again. He says, many people hate the government, and that number grows every day. People no longer trust our government very much. I live in Illinois, west of Chicago. Our last two governors are both in prison right now for corruption. Our Secretary of State's office is corrupt to the core. Chicago is well known for deep-seated corruption at every level. The federal government lied to us about WMD in Iraq as an excuse to invade. New asset forfeiture laws allow law enforcement to confiscate people's property without even bringing charges against them. Now the federal government is passing and proposing laws like the Patriot Act, the Digital Millennium Act, and SOPA/PIPA. These bills all curtail our liberty and breach the Constitution. That pretty much covers every level of government. So when I see an article about the FBI or ATF arresting people and bringing conspiracy charges, my first instinct is to believe that they are screwing over some poor citizen. And after reading this article, that sounds very much like what's happening. It wouldn't surprise me at all if there were groups plotting against the government. In fact, I would be disappointed if there weren't.
Wow. And then let me read the opposite of that letter that was in the Prairie Pravda.
Ah, okay.
Good people, I have been following the healthcare arguments before the Supreme Court. These people had better be careful. A nightmare will befall this country if the law is struck down. It's not perfect, and a lot of log rolling went into it just to get it passed. Barack Obama will come out a winner in this, no matter what the court decides. That is fine by me, but if the law does not survive, neither will the United States, as we will be plunged into a revolutionary civil war.
Okay.
That is a lead pipe cinch. And my earlier remarks about the left would be reinforced. In a revolutionary situation brought about by the collapse of any government, the left always wins, primarily because they would be the best equipped to be first responders in case of anarchy. Every Democrat has tons of guns and first aid equipment. What would ensue would be a long-term left-wing military dictatorship. Okay, I could see that. This is not as much of an oxymoron as we might think. Agreed. But there is one caveat. We all, regardless of what side we were on, will still have guns and ammo. This is definitely a Wyoming Democrat writing this letter. We'll all have guns and ammo. An armed populace should give anyone pause, right or left. And remember this, when Mao took over China, he trusted the public to keep their guns and gold. Did he? Sheldon Smully Casper.
You can subscribe to Freedom Fiends via the RSS link on the top right of any page. It's orange and marked follow. Or you can subscribe via email at the subscribe by email link at the top of the right sidebar on any page. It's a little bit below the search field. You'll need to respond to a one-time confirmation email, but after that, you will only receive an email each time a new episode posts. The Freedom Fiends respect your privacy. We will not spam you and will not sell, rent, or share your email address. And you are free to unsubscribe at any time.
I'm sure that some government agency is watching Sheldon Smully after writing this letter.
Yeah, the left, the best equipped to be the first responders if anarchy breaks out. I don't think it's because he was implying they have guns. I think he's implying they have,
they care about people.
They have the philosophy of Marx to come up and tell people that they need a state, apparently.
Is this person a Marxist? What do you get from this? Are they just a Barack Obama supporter? Are they...
I think they're a statist. They're basically saying, the Congress passed something. We need to stop fighting about all the ideology and get together and support the state no matter what it does, is basically what I get from it.
Huh. Hey, you know, in a recent episode, you had your window open and I could hear children playing on the cast, you know, out on the street. I'm wondering if it's illegal to make a libertarian podcast within 1,000 feet of a school.
Well, it wasn't school children. I live in these low-income housing places, and we've got all these kids because low-income people have lots of babies.
Low-income children need the most laws to protect them.
Right? There you go. So, yeah, every day from about 2 p.m., until the sun goes down, all you hear outside is kids playing basketball until they break the hoop. They break the hoop every couple months, and
ew,
then it gets
children.
Quiet for a little bit.
Ew, children.
It's actually kind of fun. It's just, yeah, it's kind of annoying when you're trying to do audio stuff, but it was really hot in here, so I had to crack the window. Hope you guys didn't mind too much.
Sheldon Smully.
Smully. Smully. What a weird last name.
I know, man.
He was the Smully kid in class.
Yeah. I don't know what that person's politics or worldview is. You know, I kind of think that the healthcare bill is going to get struck down, which I don't think is going to make that much grand difference in the long run of how of that happening eventually and of tyranny marching forward. And I don't think it's going to be an armed civil revolution in the country. Right. I think it's going to be, you know, a bunch of people yelling in the streets in big cities and a little bit of skirmishes and violence and arrests that probably is about the same you get in L.A. when the Lakers win or lose a game. You
know? Right. Well, here's the thing, Smully. I mean, did we have anarchy in the streets and violent revolutions before the healthcare bill was even passed? I mean, I just don't understand why if all of it got struck down, if we rolled back to 2 years ago, even.
Because
everyone's been
promised a pony, and now these bad judges want to take the pony away.
Want to take the pony away.
And
yeah,
just
I guess
make
that's
you
what it
walk around naked
to.
With your nuts out in a jailhouse.
Right. So, but yeah, and I guess that's one of the inherent reasons why government always grows is because politicians promise you things and then people get angry if they don't get them.
Well, nobody except Ron Paul supporters would elect politicians if they didn't offer to give you stolen stuff.
Yeah.
And give you back a little bit of, you know, your rights, which have been stolen. Although Ron Paul is offering to give you a lot of them back.
Yeah.
Did you hear Scott? You didn't hear the end of that episode with Scott Horton. He was going off about Ron Paul and how screwed up it is that Ron Paul is offering everyone, you know, liberty and a sound economy on a silver platter, and everyone's just saying no, thank you. And and Scott was like pounding on the table. He was like being a pulpit pounder during it. Did you hear that part?
Yep. Yeah, that's part of why I love him. He brings up that argument quite a lot. You know, he basically says when the history books are written, you know, you can never say that you didn't have a choice, that you did not have a choice to get rid of the empire and have the Bill of Rights again, at least the Bill of Rights.
I like Scott's outlook on Ron Paul and voting. He is an anarchist. I asked him if he's an anarchist. He said yes. And he would vote for Ron Paul or something with, like, he doesn't have his registration up to date or something, but because he moved. But
is he not going to vote for Ron Paul? Because he always complains about how you people just can't be bothered to vote for Ron Paul. Is Scott Horton not going to vote for Ron Paul?
Well, he's not going to vote for anyone else. But, I mean, basically he is an anarchist who likes the Constitution a little bit, which is what I am, which sounds like, you know, a lot of anarchists are like, no, you can't, you got to do one or the other. And I'm like, I'm an anarchist, but I wish the Constitution were enforced. Scott put it really well. He said we'd be, you know, 80 or 90% of the way to anarcho-capitalism if it were taken.
I wonder if there's another distinction there. Because does Scott Horton say he likes the Constitution, or does he say he likes the Bill of Rights? And same with, question
to
you.
He said the Constitution. I would say the Bill of Rights.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. But
yeah, because I can't get on board with the Constitution. You know, I can't get on board with the Congress has the power to levy taxes and raise an army.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't. I'm not on board with that either. But it's all the law of the land. So as a realist, I wish it were enforced. I mean, I can't see how it's constitutional that any time you're arrested, they can make you stand naked in front of a bunch of people. I mean, that's just the one this week, you know, today, yesterday.
But that falls into the fantasy that a piece of paper could ever get the government to
follow. Yeah, but it also falls into the reality that there's people with guns that'll come around and that'll come around and slay you, you know, if you don't do their bidding. So I wish that those people had their own guns telling them they can't do things like that, you know.
But they never would, because those kind of people that will slay you if you don't do their bidding, I mean, they're the ones.
Here's the thing. I love it when we get into these. The thing is, there are occasional times when there are judges, when you're before a judge naked, you know, in court, and he's, you know, they're about to do something to you, and a judge goes, oh, wait, that's not constitutional. I like it when that happens. And I hope that when I'm naked standing in front of a jury someday, a court, that the judge has a little bit of respect for the Bill of Rights.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I can't fault that. I mean, obviously, I wish the judges weren't in the same entity as the government.
You know,
but
if the cops ever kicked in your door and planted something, are you going to say, I'm not going to have my lawyer bring up the unconstitutionalness of that because I'm an anarchist?
Of course not. But
that's what I'm saying. And I think that's what Scott's saying, too. He likes the, you know, he wished they'd paid attention. They would pay attention more to the Bill of Rights. He said the Constitution, but I think he meant the Bill of Rights.
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
Although
he's so busy
knowing every minutia of foreign policy of America, I don't know that he knows the minutia of American policy.
He knows it to the extent that American domestic policy affects American foreign policy.
Yeah,
which is the argument that Justin Raimondo makes a lot, that what's going on is people, they don't care about that, or politicians don't care about the actual strategy of going in invading Iran or wherever. They care about how it plays at home amongst the voters and amongst AIPAC and the different lobbyists.
Yeah.
That's really what drives foreign policy. So to that extent, I'm sure Horton is very well versed in that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So read this great review of the Guns and Weed movie at the bottom of page 3 here.
All right. And you think this is a great review. Basically, the reason is, I think it's great too. You say it turned a hippie into a wannabe gun lover.
That's the title of the review.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why my favorite part of it.
Right, right. And we've turned a few minds before. There was that, wasn't there some guy from Chicago who was a blogger? What took people to task who hate on guns because he saw guns and weed.
You know, I was listening to the Sex, Lies, and Anarchy podcast last night, and one of the gals on there said that someone told her that they moved to New Hampshire because of that podcast. Like, that was how they heard about it. And she's like, I want to get that guy on videotape because, you know, I really want to get my Golden Porcupine Award. Which there isn't really a such thing, but I really liked it. So we need to get our golden, I don't know what we get.
Yeah.
Our golden drone. A golden gun and weed. Golden drone. A golden drone.
A golden drone, but instead of hellfire missiles, it's got, you know, some nice sweet nugs in one side and I guess
free
357 Magnum
free guns
on the other.
Guns with little parachutes on them that drop down into the schoolyard to give
and
the
boxes
kids,
of dynamite and cans of spray paint.
Cans of spray paint to huff with the hippies and shoot the dynamite.
Paper bag not included. All right. So anyway, here's
in a paper bag. It's well designed.
Oh,
it's a whole,
genius.
It's the whole,
yeah.
It's the one atom 12 party kit.
Okay. I'm glad we spitballed that and worked that out. That's a good idea. Okay.
Let's take a break and then read this. All right. Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Eight, two, one, rolling. Okay,
rolling. Oh,
yeah. So, we just had a really funny conversation that no one's ever going to hear.
We saved
the best for ourselves.
Instead, we're going to read somebody talking about how great we are.
Yes, by Kaiser Gracht.
Kaiser Gracht
is his username.
You got to put the actual German inflection into it. All right. So he says, by the title of this film, of course he means Guns and Weed, I assume this would be yet another gangsta movie, thin of substance or cerebral content. Quite the opposite. First film in a long time which has influenced my political beliefs. It accomplished this fairly and creatively. At times a bit shocking, but in retrospect, required. Why do we subsidize the alleviation of pain, but imprison the pursuit of happiness? Are these not the same thing? Wasn't the Constitution written to preserve the pursuit of happiness? To pursue happiness, one must have the right to defend their own life. These are inseparable truths, rarely mutually agreed upon by gun lovers and weed lovers. You can't help but leave this film recognizing liberty is not an a la carte menu. It's a quantum entangled state, and any effort to line item veto the freedom quanta results in enormous efforts, large governments, and exponentially more taxes. Fear is the product they sell, and we're all suckers for it. The best government starts with yourself and the realization that you can't outsource it with no oversight. 5 stars. Must see.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I do like his point about, which I guess is a regurgitation of our point, about how isn't, you know, pursuit of happiness and the alleviation of pain the same thing? I mean, if you're pursuing happiness.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Like, you know, I mean, you could get medical marijuana for, you know, let's say backache, mm-hmm. you know. I've met people who are so depressed that it's harder on their life than having back pain. And back pain is pretty bad,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
But I've met people who have such chronic depression. I don't necessarily know that marijuana would be a good thing to treat long-term chronic depression, but what if it were? What if with some people it is?
I think it could be with some people, and I think it's up to the individual to decide. Also, I mean, the pills we use now to treat depression, which is usually one of the first things head doctors go to when people come to them depressed. I mean, nowadays they don't want to sit there and counsel them for years and years and years. They just want to write up a script.
Because an insurance plan will only pay for so many visits yep. to a psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. So since they can't spend years getting to the root of your problems, they just give you pills.
Yeah, which is really sad because these pills don't really do much. I mean, and there's so many negative consequences. Like, you can't go off them cold turkey, and they make you upset. Like, sometimes you'll be taking them, and you'll be like, man, I just want to get off these drugs. But you got to, like, downcycle yourself, especially with things like Prozac for, like, 30 days.
There's also, you know, some people have committed suicide while on them.
Yeah.
And there is implication that there's a causal effect there. You know, a friend of mine that was on psych meds who was not suicidal, but she had a theory that I've never heard, and it was really interesting, was that she thinks the reason people, I mean, I think it's because people who are suicidal get put on psych meds, but it could be more than that. But she said she thinks it's like psych meds turn off your ability to be shocked by anything to the point where, like, you could really easily cut yourself intentionally, whereas if you weren't on any, you know, your natural, like, life support will to live would say, no, don't cut yourself.
Yeah, yeah. I could totally see that. And Stefan Molyneux has a couple great interviews back in his archives from a few months ago. I forget the name of the author, but he interviews this author who basically wrote and did some research about how these things can actually damage your brain. Not only that, but Molyneux also always brings up the point that, I mean, there's no medical test to find out about depression and these kinds of things. They don't have actual physical signs. It's not like cancer where
they can
see.
Yeah, they ask you a bunch of questions.
Yeah, It's not like cancer where you can see a tumor and point to it or look at an x-ray or do an EKG. There's nothing like that. So basically you're just giving somebody mind-altering chemicals because you don't want to do the work of actually getting the root to their problem. It can cause these people to then need those drugs constantly. And then they're stuck in the system. And of course, Big Pharma loves that because then they've got a customer for life. They're the true pushers.
I mean, they advertise those things on TV.
You know?
They don't advertise cancer medication on TV.
No. Sometimes they do, but it's always like oncology centers locally.
That's what I was thinking. Like, you know. You go to the center and then they charge you $400,000 and give you a bunch of different things. Is Molyneux anti-psych meds?
Yes, for the most part.
That's interesting because he's really pro-psychiatry. I mean, he was telling me to see a shrink and, you know, saying, well, studies show, and I don't, and whenever anyone says studies show.
It's the therapy part. And so I don't even know if I'd say he's pro-psychiatry because.
Well, you know, his wife's a therapist, a psychiatrist, right?
Ah. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, he's pretty anti-psych med. And a lot of it is because we don't really have a free market in that kind of thing. I mean, these things are subsidized often. The drug companies have an incentive to make them, and the industry has an incentive to push them, even though studies show that they actually do a lot more harm than good in most cases.
I think that they could be useful tools if they weren't part of the mega industry that they are, to where they get overprescribed and people get under-therapized, you know, under-psychoanalyzed, under-talked to, under-listened to.
Exactly. Also, I think marijuana can do a lot to, I don't know about chronic depression, but I mean, it is used and authorized for use by certain doctors as an anxiety medication. So, and I know when I was in high school, or before high school, I guess, I did have a lot of anxiety problems. Like now, I'm very laid back. Like people have called me as cool as the other side of the pillow. Like that's what our sports guy, Corey White, would tell me on the anchor desk. Because whenever anything would go wrong with the show, I'd be like, that's all right. Just relax, guys. We'll get it back on track. If we get angry now, it's just going to screw the rest of the show up. But before that, I used to worry about everything. Like I used to freak out. I used to always be worried that people didn't like me and all sorts of horrible things. I'd cry if I didn't feel like I had enough friends. You know, I'm a kid, I'm a teenager, whatever, back then. But after in high school, when I started smoking a lot of pot, you know, I guess I just stopped caring about all that stuff. And I just liked myself for who I was. And I know maybe it's a coming of age. Maybe there's not really a correlation there, but I guess there could have been.
Worms.
It's not necessarily an endorsement. I'm just sharing personal experiences.
I really like that a lot of our fans are starting to use the word worms.
Yeah. I used
and use other fiend speak. I mean, one of our callers the other day was like using so much fiend speak. I started to feel like we had started a cult. You know?
it was very true. It was Lou, wasn't it?
In a good way. In a good way. Lou, yeah. It was Michigan. Like Lou, you know, Lou had internalized our glossary so well that I was like, what is this? And what are all these terminology? You know, it's kind of like,
awesome.
It reminds me of like in AA, you learn a bunch of terms and words that you only ever hear in AA.
Yeah.
And you can tell someone who's in AA if you hear them using those words. It's kind of like that. It's like you can tell he's a fiend by hearing him talk.
I really liked his idea about fiend fiction, too. Like little two-minute.
I wrote that down. I'm absolutely committed to we're going to do that, and we're going to credit him with coming up with the idea.
Awesome.
It was awesome. Yeah.
And that idea was instead of Tyranny Today's or even Freedom Fixes, we could do fiction.
In addition.
And it would be like little audio segments where we show how things would work in LibPair and the positive side of liberty instead of being negative. It's like when I interviewed James Davis, you know, he said people don't respond to negative things like don't run, you know. But if you give them a positive directive like walk, please, they're more inclined to understand and take it to heart. So instead of don't love the state, we could be like, love freedom.
Yep. We could, if we make them 30 seconds or 60 seconds too, Ian might put them in the rotor for the comedy bumps on LRN.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
I mean, he didn't say he would, but he liked He's put one of our things up there. It was the
Compliacin.
What was it? Yeah, the Compliacin.
Speaking of drugs,
yeah.
Good deal.
Yeah, it's really a challenge for me to do radio for a lot of reasons. Like, one is making bumps and intros and ads that are exactly 30 or exactly 60 seconds. They're not even exactly that. They're 29.65 seconds or 59.65 seconds. And, you know, that Compliacin ad was originally like 2 minutes and 10 seconds. And I spent like 3 hours chopping out the parts that it could, you know, leaving the parts that could still make it work, yeah, and chopping out the best part. The only one that I really wish I could have kept in, but there was no room for it, was this drug can even keep your kids off drugs.
Yeah.
But it was a big, and then I got it down to like 63 seconds and I couldn't cut anything else out of it and keep the meaning. So I had to time compress it from 63 to 60, which makes it sound artificial, but it's okay because some commercials do that. You know, they're like, hi, if you'd like to read, if you'd like, symptoms may include,
especially the fine print at the end.
Yeah. Symptoms may include anal leakage and death. Symptoms may include anal leakage and death.
Exactly.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Yeah, I guess I'm just so used to that from my time reporting. You know, you gotta can't ever make a story longer than 2 minutes and you get in trouble. You can't put it on the air. So,
well, that was one of the things that Alan Lustofko, that I wrote that co-wrote that book with, YouTube and Insider's Guide to Climbing the Charts. And Alan was the insider and the star, and I was just the guy helping him write the book for O'Reilly Media. What he said over and over in that book, if you want videos to go viral, make them 2 minutes or less.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely say that. People don't have enough time. I think 2 minutes is too long for a viral video.
I mean, there's the rare video that's longer. Like, there's some 5 minute ones that have gone viral. I mean, the Kony video went viral, and that's like 35 minutes or 60 minutes or something. But
I would say even if it's cats doing something cute, I've only got about a minute of my time to spare on it.
Yep.
Even if it's a baby riding a penguin riding a kitten.
So do you want to talk about the Hunger Games? I'll go like eat lunch while you do this or something.
You're gonna go eat lunch?
It doesn't appeal to me, but go ahead.
Hold on. Why doesn't it appeal to you?
Stefan Molyneux bashed it. Did you hear him bashing it?
He didn't bash it. He bashed the violence, but that's the point. You're supposed to be sickened by the violence.
So wait, he doesn't like dystopian violence? We love dystopian violence. It's a cautionary example.
Well, yeah, and that's the point. And he said the violence is abhorrent, but you're supposed to feel abhorrent.
No, he didn't like the contrivedness of the romance in it.
There's that too. But I mean, really, especially more so in the movie, the romance is more of a side plot. I guess it all depends on the viewer. Like, if you are a 13-year-old girl, you're going to be enamored with how cute the boy is and whatnot. But you know. For me, the love story in it is really secondary or even tertiary. But I don't know. Lou Rockwell's been pushing it a lot, but I liked it even before then. And I think maybe they're pushing it too much, especially the movie. The movie, to me, it was great and all, but I don't think the violence was gory enough, especially if we're talking about an evil state that's forcing kids to kill each other. I think it should be a little bit more gruesome than it was. They kind of held off on it. And that's not because I want to see violence or gore. It's because, in general, I felt like in the movie, the audience doesn't come away with, oh my God, I hate the concept of a state. I can't believe we live in a society where people still believe the government's a good idea. You get a lot more of that from the book. Because in the book, you get Katniss, which is the main character. You get her internal dialogue, and which is always her complaining about how evil the government is. And Michael, are you still there?
Yeah.
Here's one thing. And I don't want to spoil it too much for people who haven't read the book or watched the movies. I don't understand how you could not like, and I guarantee you probably would like it. In the second and the third books, one of the main themes in her head is always her thinking of how to kill the president. So
why would I like
because
that?
Because I mean, it's a fiction.
I'm a peace loving man, baby.
All right, but if
I just want to huff paint and shoot dynamite.
There's an evil tyrant.
I don't want to hurt
anybody.
Who's forcing
kids to kill each other, and one of the kids she actually has a chance to defend herself. Like, she sees the president occasionally, and so she actually has a chance to stop the violence through self defense.
Wow.
And the other thing is, here's another reason.
Wait,
I think
there's a major Hollywood movie with a character that wants to kill the president.
Well, it's in the second and third books, so the major Hollywood movie hasn't gotten to that point.
Boy,
yet.
What are they going to do with that? They'll make the president a Republican. That's what they'll do.
Well, it's post-apocalyptic. So America, basically, the story is America got into a civil war. The capital, I think it's either Denver or Salt Lake now, but there's a capital in the Rocky Mountains.
It's always that in post-apocalyptic American fiction. It's always in one of the square states.
Right. Right. Well, either way, because they had nukes, they were able to basically lord it over the rest of the country that tried to fight back. And now they make all the country pay tribute, as they say, by sending two of their kids to fight to the death in the reality show. You've probably heard all that before. But the point is, and another reason you'd really like it, is the reason that the main character, Katniss, can survive and she can win the games.
Katniss.
Is, oh yeah, there you go. That's another reason. She's got Kat in her name. Is because she's an excellent marksman. She's an archer. Like, there's no guns don't exist in the society except that the peacekeepers, they call them the cops, have guns. Even her bow and arrow is illegal. She has to stash it in the woods whenever she goes hunting and dig it up. But she uses her good eye and excellent shooting skills basically to take down the whole empire or the evil government by the end of it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds like Moon is a Harsh Mistress meets Avatar.
Moon is a Harsh Mistress meets Avatar meets Battle Royale meets Molon Labe. It's basically, and it's not the most original story, but I think it's told well, and I really like, especially in the books, her internal dialogue about the state. And I really like how in the ending, she doesn't allow the society to just trade one tyrant for another, because the leader of the rebels is a tyrant herself. And I won't spoil it too much, but there's also a great message.
That's why I could never be in a militia, man. The leader of the rebels always is a
right,
tyrant.
Exactly. And so there's a good message also at the end of the series about how a lot of times the person trying to fight for revolution, leaning at this, people like Che Guevara and all that, they're just as tyrannical. They just want to be the ones who are at the helm of this giant
state. Does it mention Che Guevara?
No, it doesn't. But you kind of get that feeling. And they foreshadow this and bring this up early, that the leader of the rebels is pretty much no better than the president of the empire. And it's really great how it ends, too. So I would say, please read the books rather than watching the movie. I think the movie is a good side venture.
You talking to me or the audience? I don't read books.
Both. Okay. It's a real quick read. I mean, it was written for teenage girls. I mean, it's you can read it in a night.
Teenage girls have more time on their hands than I do.
Okay, fine. Well, you could read it in the time it'd take to watch the whole movie. So maybe not you, Michael.
Really?
But I would,
it's like 20 pages long or 40 pages long?
It's like 200 something, but the print's pretty big for the page, and it's a quick read, I guess. It makes you want to keep reading the next word, so you don't, like, some books I'll read and I'll have to sit there and ponder on the meaning of the sentence and go back a few sentences to get the true context. I'm not saying the book isn't complex, but it moves, it's very paced. It's paced very fastly, quickly. At any rate, I think, especially for younger libertarians or maybe people who are not quite there yet with the idea that the state is inevitably going to collapse into an evil tyranny, it's a good form of entertainment. I don't think you'll be educated as much in your brain, but you will feel it more in your heart after reading the series, I think.
Nifty.
Yeah, and watch the movie just because it's a fun way to go and eat popcorn. But I don't think the movie's going to do as much to bring people into the fold of hating the state, because the movie's just kind of a fantasy thing, and you don't hear any of her internal monologue. And yeah, you kind of hate the capital or whatever, but I mean, you don't really understand why as much.
There needs to be more libertarian mainstream movie media. It's really few and far between, and you know, I mean, the one I can think of is Atlas Shrugged, and it's that was only made because it's a classic best-selling book, and it was a well-done, well-made movie, but it wasn't a very good feel. It wasn't a feel-good movie at all.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a feel-good story.
Yeah. We need a lib pair movie. We need to do what?
Yeah.
We need to compile all our fiend fictions and turn them into a movie one day. We need to do one crazy thing or one insanely hard thing to do after we do something we haven't even done yet.
There you go.
But yeah, I think you're right. And I guess it's mostly because Hollywood's not very libertarian.
It's not
at all.
It's really not. I mean, Atlas Shrugged was made outside of Hollywood with secret funding, probably by, you know, the Koch brothers.
And weren't people trying to get it made for like decades or something?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, the option, the guy who made it, the option he'd purchased on it was about to expire like in 3 days, and he started filming it to keep the option from expiring.
Yikes. Yeah, yeah. I think that would move the culture a lot more towards the level that it needs to be. But I think it's always building on something else. I think we podcast until enough young people and filmmakers and people get the idea, and then those people will hopefully make movies, and then those movies will get the other people to start to buy into the idea, and then once we get that demand for the state to lower, then the state can start to shrink, and hopefully at some point we can get to the point where it's like, you know, we have a button we can press that'll just say end the state, and poof, no more DMVs. Well,
is that a nuke or is that a media button?
It's not a nuke.
I know. It sounded like it, though. So anybody out there who's creative and has lots of ideas and energy and wants to know about the technical aspects of filmmaking, book writing, or audio production, I've written a bunch of books on the subject and updated them with a bunch of blog posts. Go to michaelwdean.com and click on, I think the link is Michael Stuff, and it's got a link to a lot of my books and media and blog posts on media production. I like to be open about all of this. You know, one thing I'm having trouble with is getting people to do my podcast with Mumble. Like, I want people to do it with Mumble.
Yeah.
Scott Horton did it because he already uses Mumble, and Stefan Molyneux was willing to do it, and Ian used it. And I did a double ender with, you know, the four I've done so far sound good, but like I'm getting people now who are like, I don't know what that is. We'll have to do Skype or telephone.
Yeah.
Which I really want to get more Liberty people into better audio, but I also want to get people to install and configure and use Mumble, not just to use it on my podcast, but to use it because it's encrypted and it's secure. And I think libertarians shouldn't be thinking, oh, I have nothing to hide. I don't care what the government has. Here's what I have to say. Even if you have nothing to hide, you should be using encryption anyway, because it makes it less obvious when other people who have secrets want to use Mumble.
Yep.
You know, if the only people using Mumble or any kind of encryption are people telling secrets, it's not as good as if people of all kinds of messages are, you know,
exactly
relaying it with Mumble.
Because then it's not a target. The revolution will be mumbled.
The revolution will be mumbled. All right, let's take a break on that note.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
So Vermont inmates hide pig in official police car decal.
Yeah.
That's an old one. We're finally, now that we're doing two podcasts a week and I'm doing a cast on the side and even using some of my notes for that, or my old notes for that, we're finally getting through our 25 pages of notes that has not gotten any shorter and has only gotten longer. We're actually to page 4 of the notes today. We usually only get to page 1 or 2. Because we're just so good at yakking. But this is from a while back. But I also don't mind. You know what I want to start doing is doing, instead of, in addition to tyranny today, is do a tyranny yesterday or tyranny last year. I think we should occasionally revisit old tyrannical stories, do a follow-up, find out what happened with it. But also, just so these things don't die. You know, it's like, there's a guy sitting in prison right now because he made some silver coins for liberty. You know, that guy's going to be in prison for 8 years. Yeah. Or so, we're not going to forget about that just because it's not in the news right now.
It's a really
now.
Good idea. You know, what about, I mean, I had forgotten what, about the militia, the Hutterite militia being, you know, up on charges until the judge threw the case out. And so that could have just disappeared into the ether.
Whatever happened about that Marine vet that was killed in his home by drug the SWAT cop goons team. Kicking the door.
In Arizona, was you know? It? They like, thought they had a drug still warrant dead. And they went in there. And,
he's still dead, man. That guy's still dead. His wife's still a widow. So, yeah. So let's have some we'll do Tyranny last year in upcoming episodes. But let's do Tyranny 6.
We've got to have a catch your name. We'll do some thinking.
Let's do a freedom fix from 6 months ago. Vermont inmates hide pig in official police car decal. It was the print shop in some prison was tasked, you know, the slave laborers there were tasked with making a, not only printing the decal for all the police cars, but also designing it. And whoever the graphic artist was, or someone that snuck in after the graphic artist did his work, hid a couple little pigs in this big, you know, 2x2 foot decal.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. But again, whoever the bureaucrat was that came up with the idea to make the slaves create the logo for the slave masters, bad idea, guys. You were asking for that one.
And his comment was, he said the artist has talents that could be used elsewhere. If that person had used some of that creativeness, he or she would not have ended up inside. Bullshit. And how do you know? And that's, you know.
Yeah, what if you arrested him for some kind of IP violation and he was using his creativity to sample some old song and you threw him in jail for it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we were joking during the podcast, during the break. One of the things that was funny that we didn't share, I'll bring up because it was funny, is somebody was commenting on the Anarchy Gumbo podcast, and someone who's thinking of starting a podcast, and he said, I really like that song at 23 minutes and 40 seconds, that music. Is that available for free download for pod safe use on my podcast? And I'm like, no. I said, you know, I said, that music was written for me by Nima Vedati. And, you know, it wasn't an IP thing. It's like, if he sampled the podcast and commented on it, I wouldn't care about it, even if you use that part of the music. But it's like, that music I picked because you made it and I liked it and wanted to use it for you know, to kind of be a not a trademark, but an audio like indicator of, you know, like the theme music. It's, and I don't want some other podcast using my original theme music. And you are actually using that music in a song that you wrote. And you said, what did you say if somebody else used it in a podcast?
I plan to. And there's maybe one other bump I've made you that I might turn into the backing for a song I'm writing that are going to be on my album. I don't want people to pick up my album and be like, man, this guy is just looping podcast bumps. What the hell? But they're bumps I made. Like, but yeah, we don't need IP to do this. I mean, basically what he was asking was, is it on some kind of free pod catching thing for, you know, podcast makers who can download license free stuff?
And, you know, I said, no, man, it's fucking, it's a fiend's production.
We don't
need
the government to keep him from using it. All we need to do is not give him an MP3.
And laugh at the idea. And, you know, there's DJ talking over it too, so it'd be pretty hard to get the music out of it. There are programs that you can take all or most of the voice out of
music. You lose so much of the quality and so much of the feel, though. It's really not a true essence of doing that.
And it wouldn't work in this case because the way that those programs work are by playing on the fact that most commercial music, the music is stereo in the left and right channel, and the lead vocal is usually mono right in the middle. Yeah. And so it uses comparing one channel to the other to remove the middle channel. That wouldn't work in this case.
Did you stereo record DJ?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yep. To watermark it, so that couldn't happen. No, it was an experiment I tried. I liked it.
Okay. Cool. Well,
yeah, I used two mics and recorded into my mixer with two channels. I used the ribbon. I just wanted to see what the ribbon mic
and a condenser mic sounded like together.
And a condenser mic sounded like.
I had that idea too. I didn't try it. Did you like the results?
I really liked it a lot. I was going to mix them together as one track, but it was so cool. I panned them a little bit.
So here's the problem I've been having with that, though, is you can't have phantom power on a ribbon mic, but you have to have phantom power for a condenser mic. How do you solve that?
because I have a mixer and a separate tube preamp that has phantom power.
I've got a preamp too, but it's not a tube preamp. So if I plug the ribbon mic into the preamp and then use a line out into the mixer, it won't transfer that phantom power up the line into the ribbon mic.
Right. Right. If I'm understanding you correctly.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I'll try that.
Yeah. One problem you can have with recording with more than one mic, though, is phase cancellation, which is if microphones, do you know what that is?
If they're slightly offset, then.
Yeah. If they're a distance apart that is the length of the waves or a multiple of the way or a divisor of the waves of the sound you're using, it can cancel each other out. But most mixers, including mine and my preamp, have a phase reversal switch on them.
I see. Yeah. And don't some of the programs that try to take the lyrics out of songs also use phase cancellation to do that?
That's how they do it.
Okay.
That's exactly how they do it.
Well, there you go. We brought it back full circle.
Yep. But it would not work. You know, I've been getting more, like every, on the new podcast, on Anarchy Gumbo, every person that comes on, I ask them technical questions. Yeah. Like what they record with, and because I'm interested in that, and because I want to like get Liberty Media as good as it could be, so I want to hear everyone's tips and tricks.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of cheesy in a way. It's kind of like, you know, when I was playing in bands, I always hated it when people were like, "Whoa, what kind of guitar do you use? What kind of strings do you use? What kind of pick do you use?" You know, it's like that's got nothing to do with music. It's just fucking porn.
Tech
it's just
porn.
Guitar. You know, yeah, tech porn. But in this case, you know, it's for a set group. It's for Liberty. It's not for all the talkers out there. Oops. It's not for all the talkers out there. It's for the Liberty talkers. So I want to spread as much knowledge.
Well, not only that, but the people who are just looking for the tech porn, they might use the search things, get to a Freedom Fiends or an Anarchy Gumbo, and then not only learn the answer to their tech question, but maybe learn some Liberty
but
too.
Find Liberty. Yeah. And you know, one of the pages on the Freedom Fiend site that gets the page that gets the most hits other than the main page is probably the How We Record page.
Have you updated that yet? Because we've vastly changed that.
Yeah, I have updated. I've added the ribbon mics.
Do you need new pics of my setup?
If you want.
Sure.
Yeah, you could. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to leave the old stuff up, but I say like, as of episode 58, we started, you know, I started using ribbon mic, and as of episode 60 or whatever it was, you know, it was like, I had the ribbon mic for two episodes before you. And then I talk about how we still use the condenser mics on the Sunday cast, blah, blah, blah. You know, I haven't written like a whole new tutorial for the new stuff, but I've mentioned what's changed. But yeah, but I have gotten several comments of people who are like, yeah, love the new cast. I just feel like you're speaking Greek when you talk about the microphones, but I just skip over that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we don't talk about microphones for the whole cast, so just bear with us, I guess.
Or fast forward.
Yeah, there you go. Fast forward.
Jump ahead.
All right, yeah. So off the microphones then. I've got a quote, you know, I think a few cast back, we mentioned maybe we'd sometimes bring out top Liberty quotes, and that we never really compile enough for a top five list or whatever, but sometimes when I come across them, I'll save them for later use. And I found this, what I thought was really succinct summation of conservatives by Lawrence Vance, and this is the quote: "What conservatives ultimately want is just a more efficient police state run by conservatives."
Yeah.
And pretty true, right? And he got to it was in an article about the Heritage Foundation, which is a conservative think tank. They were basically saying, yeah, the TSA is bad, but only because it's just another entrenched bureaucracy.
For as much as conservatives hate nudity, they sure want to see people naked in a jailhouse and feel them up in an airport.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. They want nudity, but only to those brown and black people that do drugs.
Or as a punishment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those hippies.
As a punishment. There you go. So, yeah. I mean, I don't understand why some people tend to equate Republicans or conservatives with freedom or liberty, because, or even limited government.
And I don't understand why so many young people equate Democrats with freedom. I mean, they really do. It's wake the f- up, people.
Yeah.
You know, this guy you voted in, the guy you voted in because he's an alternative to Bush, is doing everything Bush's doing and worse. Yeah. The only thing he's done that's unlike Bush so far. I mean, I guess, you know, the healthcare thing is taking Bush's policies to the max.
Yeah, it's just Medicare Part D. Bush did the same thing.
And it's, yeah, and it's probably going to get struck down. But the only thing that Obama's done that Bush wouldn't do was ending Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And that's just a bureaucratic snafu that, you know, would have gotten done eventually anyway and should have been done. You know,
yeah.
Anybody.
Yay, more people no can matter, go die. Good job. Good
yeah,
job.
Yeah.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com. That's why we're very upset about freedomfiends.cz. Freedomfiends.cz is a Liberty Media archive of Freedom Fiends material hosted in the Czech Republic. Freedomfiends.cz is outside the jurisdiction of the Watchers, who employ me, the Central Scrutinizer, to keep you from hearing things that might make you think. My fellow scrutinizers and I do not want you to visit freedomfiends.cz. Do not visit freedomfiends.cz.
So, yeah, he's Bush, man.
He's Bush. Yeah, I really like what Scott Horton said about how when he was a kid, before he got indoctrinated left or right, he watched George Carlin at, I guess it was called the Jam in New York. And George Carlin made fun of conservatives for the first half and then liberals for the second half. And Scott Horton was like, oh, there you go. I don't have to be a conservative or a liberal. I can be a Carlin.
Yeah, Carlinite. Carlinian. Yeah, the best comedians are always libertarian, I find. Like, you know, George Carlin, Joe Rogan, Doug Stanhope.
Because the most ridiculous thing in society is the government. So it's the easiest to pick on and the funniest jokes come out of it.
Oh, South Park, the South Park guys. You know, do you want the giant douche or do you want the poo sandwich? Yeah.
Well, did you see the TSA episode South Park did recently?
No.
It's great. One of the students' moms keeps on his ass about putting the toilet seat down. And then he keeps forgetting. And one day she sits down without the toilet seat down and her ass like falls in the toilet. And it's pretty exaggerated, but basically she dies because of it, because the fire department can't pull her out and they have to flush the toilet. But when that happens, it like sucks her guts out and she dies. So the government steps in and it requires you to wear a seatbelt whenever you're sitting on the toilet. And it starts off like Stan's dad is sitting on the toilet in the morning and he's got his coffee and he forgets to put a seatbelt on. And then he gets like a knock on the window and it's a police officer who says, you're not wearing your seatbelt, sir. I'm gonna have to write you a ticket for that. And then it progresses to where there's a toilet safety administration, the TSA. And at first, oh my it's God. Just in public restrooms. You have to go get inspected, take your shoes off, and then you get strip searched at the end of it. And there's this funny bit where Kyle's dad, the Jewish lawyer guy, is finished taking a poo, and he comes out, and the big black TSA lady with gold teeth. You know the one I'm talking about with the curly hair and the weave. She's she's like, okay, sir, just bend over, please. I need to check your asshole. And he's like, but why? She's like, please bend over, sir. I need to check your asshole. And he bends over and she starts to wipe him. She's like, you's a big boy, ain't you? He's like, yeah, I'm a big boy. I made a big poop.
Yep. They'd hire those people off of pizza boxes. Right, they do anyway.
Right. So yeah, it's just a bit about how ridiculous this whole bit can be, where we take safety to ungodly levels and decide that even any liberty is sacrificed for the sake of safety nowadays.
Yeah.
Even taking a Duke.
Yep. So I ran across this thing that I found really interesting is that there is a type of tax protesters who are, they're often religious, but not always. And they're not people who don't believe in the state. They're not people who think that the government shouldn't be able to take money at gunpoint. They are simply anti-war, and they'll pay their taxes, but minus the amount the United States spends on the military, and they'll put a note in that says, I'm only remitting, you know, 61% of my taxes due because you spend 39% or 40, whatever, you know, the balance on the military, and I don't believe in the military. I find that very interesting.
Do they get away with it?
No.
Oh, okay.
But
because I was going to say, if they can get away with that, then I could say I don't agree with the government. I will not be remitting any of my taxes this year.
It really bugs you paying taxes, doesn't it?
Oh, bugs the crap out of me. And I owe this year. Like, I'm going to have to actually cut a check. And I know that when they withhold and then they give you your money back, it's not really you getting money from the government. I get that. I understand it. And that's why I stopped. Like, I do everything I can to keep them from withholding any money. And then usually I'm able to, because I've had some big life changes, moving. And then back when I was a bureau reporter, I got to expense most of my apartment because I ran the whole Wyoming Riverton bureau out of my apartment. But this year, I don't really have a lot of things to deduct, so I'm going to have to actually cut a check. And, you know, Milton Friedman was right. You get a lot more upset when you got to write a check out of your bank account than when you get a check back from the government, even though it's the same amount of money.
That's why they do it that way.
Totally why they do it that way. And I've always known that intellectually, but now that I'm going to have to actually budget my month around paying the government, for what? I mean, normally when I pay things, right, unless it's, you know, me paying the cops for whatever, but normally when I buy something, I'm like, okay, great, you know, I got a budget this year because I need to buy a new gun, or I got to buy a new computer, it's going to up my productivity, or I got to buy food, you know, I'm going to buy some nice seafood here, keep myself healthy, whatever. But when I have to cut a check so that people can point guns at me, it feels really ridiculous. I feel awful doing it.
Fuzzy has jumped up on my desk, and he's sniffing the mic. He's rubbing his face on it right now. You can probably hear it. It's really weird. He's the one skittish cat. He loves DJ, but he doesn't like me. His brother loves me and doesn't really like DJ. But Fuzzy is – I'm trying to keep him from, like – he's trying to step on the keys, which could end the recording, and he's rubbing up against me. At first, I was thinking maybe he just took a poo and he's trying to make me smell it, because he will do that sometimes, but it's not what he's doing. Yeah, like he'll take a poo, and if he has poo on his tail, he'll come like stick his tail in my face.
I've never liked Fluffy.
He's a sick little chat. Fuzzy. You've never liked him? You don't like Fuzzy?
No, man. Remember, we used to be eating chicken wings, and he'd come up and like beg for them.
Oh, he'd beat you up.
Yeah, and then I started giving him chicken wings, and he'd come up to me and slap me if I wasn't giving him a chicken wing.
Fuzzy has mental problems. Yeah, and now he's like up in my face while I'm trying to podcast. Just, I don't know why, man. It's weird.
Yeah. F that, man.
You ever heard that song? Oh, he's wonderful. I love you, Fuzzy. Make some noise. Fuzzy's a really vocal cat, but he's not doing anything now. You ever heard that song, I Want to Be a Drug-Sniffing Dog, by the band Ministry?
No, I want to hear it now, though. I thought it was by Lard.
Lard, right. That's the singer from Ministry. No, wait, Lard... Lard is Jello. Oh, it's Jello Biafra singing with Ministry. That's Lard. Yeah, that's I Want to Be a Drug Sniffing Dog. But there's a Ministry song. Have you ever heard Ministry? You ever heard the song New World Order?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you played it. It's kind of industrial.
Yeah, it's really early industrial, like 1980 something.
Like the kind of stuff Trent Reznor used to listen to before he invented Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, back when he was in Ohio in his parents' bedroom in front of the mirror with a Devo flower pot hat on playing air guitar to Devo.
Air guitar. Oh, that's great.
Do you ever play guitar? This keyboard like guitar like keyboards?
Well, you know, honestly, what I've been using lately as my MIDI controller is actually the Rock Band 3 keyboard, which doubles as a guitar.
That works? Really?
Yeah, it's got a strap on it, and you can wear it like a guitar. I never do that because I think it's lame, but it's got a...
That'd be really funny to see someone in like a real band playing a real show. You know, to a lot of people, using that as the MIDI controller, playing some really evil industrial music.
Well,
on
see,
it.
I used to use my. I've got a Microkorg, which is a pretty respected synth, and it's a really awesome synth. And I was using that as my MIDI controller, and it's great as a synth. But the keys are so small that you can play it, but as if I can, you know, the keys on the Rock Band one are like piano sized keys. They're not weighted, but they're the size of piano keys. So when I'm using a MIDI controller now, I use the Rock Band 3 controller.
Explain what weighted means.
You know how, like, if you got a piano, you sort of press it and it feels kind of heavy, and then it, like, sort of lifts up on its own? Like, it comes...
It has the feel of it. Weighted is a keyboard. A lot of cheap keyboards are just, like, they look like a piano keyboard, but they're just buttons, just on or off. Weighted, the harder you hit it, the louder it is, and it has kind of the snapback feel of a piano keyboard.
Snapback feel. Well, there are keyboards that aren't weighted but are still velocity sensitive. Both my synth, the Microkorg, and the Rock Band 3, they are velocity sensitive. If you press the button lightly, you'll get a quiet sound. If you slam it, you'll get a hard sound with a lot of attack. But they're not weighted, though, neither of them.
Fuzzy's sniffing my mic stand. You know, Fuzzy really likes my shoes. He likes to sniff my shoes, too.
Yeah.
And roll around on them and get all, like, turned on looking.
Both of our animals, our cat and our dog, love to sniff my wife's head. And her hair does smell good, but she's kind of borders on hypochondriac sometimes. A lot of times jokingly, but she worries she has some kind of head cancer because all the animals are always sniffing her head.
Well, you know, animals can be sensitive to cancer. I've heard that. That's weird.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard that too. So
I was reading the article about drug sniffing dogs on Wikipedia the other day, and I went to the scent dog. I forget what the name of the article is, but it's about all the different things they use dogs to smell. Like bees. They use dogs to find beehives. Huh. They use them for smoke, explosive drugs, search and rescue. And then just, I can't even remember the other ones. It was just some really random stuff. Bees was one
bees.
Of them.
Did you see that internet meme with the German Shepherd sitting down by all the confiscated pot, and the title is Statist Bitch?
I made
you
that.
You made that?
I made that. I'll use that for for this episode.
Okay,
that.
There you go.
Yeah, I made a bunch of them this week. I'll use them all. I made them all in one night. I made that one. I made one that has some, like, soccer mom getting a ticket from a cop, and added...
Yeah, I saw that. Just say no.
I added the little thought balloons, and he's saying, do you mind if I search your car? Is it okay if I search your car, ma'am? And she says, no. And it says, just say no. And then there was another one called Yes, We Can, which had another soccer mom with another cop leaning in her window and saying, do you mind if I search your car? And she says, yes. Yes, we can, was the title of that one. But my favorite is Statist Bitch, yeah, the dog. I saw another one that's really funny, but I don't want to repost it because I imagine someone could get arrested for reposting this. It's a picture. It's a photo of a horse, like a circus horse that's gone wild or something, trying to screw a cop. And you can see the horse's erect member. Like, it's an actual photo from Europe somewhere of, like, a circus, and another cop is trying to pull the horse away from him, and the caption of it is F the police.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
You think you get in trouble for that?
I don't know. It could be considered, like, animal porn or something. You know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Human animal. It's a human and it's an animal trying to do a human in a very graphic, you know, big as my arm,
yeah,
kind of way.
Yeah, Rick Santorum would Santorum in his pants and then get angry at you.
And then use the government guns to stop you. All right, man, we're at the end of our time here. The revolution will be mumbled. F the police with a big horse. And drug-sniffing dogs are statist bitches. It's not their fault, but they're statist bitches.
And be careful not to Santorum in your pants.
Yep, worms. Fuzzy, get away from the microphone.
Hello, freedom fiends. It's your boy, Dean, from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. Include endorphins. No one won't ask permission, and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every week, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them.